Let's return to the Common Sense Psychic on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Phyllis King.
Again, welcome back. This is Phyllis King, and I am your Common Sense Psychic, and I am chatting with none other than Stephen Lewis, co-founder of EMC Squared, co-author of the book The Sanctuary. And if you'd like to learn more than you're hearing today, want some place to go, go to theenergeticmatrix.com, and there is an AIM program trade tour, a little video you can watch, and it's also on the stephenlewis.org, and that's Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-L-E-W-I-S.org. And on that website, there's also a free affirmation video you can watch that's really, it makes you feel great to watch. It's very peaceful and has beautiful piano music, so I really invite you and encourage you to visit those websites. And there's a lot of resources and books and articles, and it tells you everywhere Stephen is speaking, so you can continue the conversation and hear more points of view than mine today. Okay, we're back. Stephen, I was wondering, how did you get connected with Max Stevens? You said you have a background in physics, but how did you come to know him, and how did you get connected with him and find out what he was doing?
Well, I'm Max Stevens.
You're Max Stevens?
Yes.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Why would I kid you now? No, I'm Max. And, you know, my name is Steve, obviously, or Stephen, whatever you want. But the first person who, in physics, made me aware of what energy is at a personal level and what it and how it is what we are was a guy named Max. Back in Philadelphia, he was a physicist and PhDs. And so when I wrote this, I went, Max, this is just some homage to you, just a little meager thank you.
I see.
And so that's why I took the first name Max. This is for you, Max.
I get now. At what part in this? There's a part in the book where you're talking about improving the technology. Now, what's that story about? When you finally got someone finally got you to improve a technology? I'm trying to get the players correct here. When the computer, you started to upgrade at the computers or something, and this was sort of an important step in the process?
Oh, no, I've always used computers for this. I mean, I'm kind of a geriatric. You know, back in the early days when computers occupied a few floors of a building and didn't have the power of your laptop, by the way, I used to design those computers.
Mm.
So, no, I've always used them. It's just, I think you have to, this process is always going to be a work in process and in progress, because it's about consciousness, and there is no end to consciousness. There's only more. And, you know, there's more today in the program than there was yesterday, and so on and so on. And that's an inevitability. So, but there were some great breakthroughs I made. I think the biggest breakthrough, there are only two, this is a huge field, Phyllis. I've only added two things to it. One is the ability to measure anything in units of consciousness. Because if consciousness shapes energy, my question was, so what is this here thing called consciousness? How do you measure it?
Hmm.
And that was my question. And, you know, that was my question. Something took pity on me finally. A revelation. And you can't take credit for revelations. You can take credit for vision, but not revelations.
Oh, interesting.
And now, the other one was something that I've named the Rosetta Frequency, because it translates.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's fundamentally necessary to the AIM program, because there are perhaps 500,000 imbalances and balancing frequencies on the AIM program. Now, of that 500,000, perhaps 10, 20, 30 pertain to you, and the rest have no relevance. Just as, for example, I never focus on anything about my ovaries. They're flawless. Mm-hmm. And you can just totally ignore your prostate. But you see what I mean? You only mm-hmm. need to focus on what pertains to you. The Rosetta Frequency is a frequency that allows you, now it used to be one, now there are about 60 of them, that allow you, but that's progress, allows you to focus on what pertains to you, what you need to heal, and ignore the remainder of the 500,000. Otherwise, this would not work, because nobody can assimilate 500,000 different things.
Yes.
It's just out of the question.
Now, do you still, if you discover new frequencies, do you still name them after the person or identify them with those initials, or how do you,
sure.
Are you still finding?
I'm going to go name every disease, Steve. That's just not acceptable in the least. But if after you've been on, you know, a number of months, let's say 10, 11 months, we get a call from your facilitator saying, you know, Phyllis is doing well, she's feeling good, but she's had one ongoing problem her whole life, and it's still there. Why? Well, I need to know why, just as you need to know why. So I'll look and see very simply is this. Is there some imbalance, acquired, hereditary, at whatever level it is, that pertains to you, that you have, that is not in the database? And that database contains everything known to mankind and hundreds of things that, well, I've had revealed to me that I've discovered that are not known scientifically, admittedly. And so, but there may be another one. And I would go call that, if it was true, Phyllis's disease and put it on, and Phyllis would use that frequency to heal it. You would heal it by virtue of being compelled to focus on healing it. And parenthetically, anyone else out there who had Phyllis's disease wouldn't get it named after them, but they would heal it. It's not the name. It's the frequency.
Okay. Now, what, okay, here's a more of a general question. What is there a link, or what is the link, if there was, between frequencies and disease? Or how do you explain that to people when they think that you're healing them, but really we're healing ourselves? How does that work?
You can describe things in many different languages. I can describe something biochemically. I can describe something electromagnetically. You know, whatever it is can be described in many, many ways. Now, my field is fundamentally frequencies that resonate in consciousness. And as I said, this is one of my two contributions to this field. And if something has a frequency in consciousness, it either already exists. For example, I spoke to you about your hereditary imbalances.
Mm-hmm.
I found those frequencies present, resonating as being hereditary and active, if that was the case, in you. And I said, yeah, this is from your mom, that's from your dad, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if that frequency is there, it either exists in you physically or it's going to very shortly. Now, of course, if it's hereditary, it exists in you because you, neither of us are quite swaddling babes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But if it exists as something active, I can kind of look and say, is this a chronic imbalance? Is it brand new? You just took a nice deep breath this morning and went like that. But that's easy. Everything in the world has an energetic footprint and as such can be specifically identified. And I just told you the link between something existing energetically in consciousness and existing physically.
Mm-hmm.
And consciousness, you know, this is Niels Bohr, David Bohm, many others, because everything is a wave. That's wave theory. But what makes that wave become frozen, which is to say a particulate, and that is consciousness. When you focus on something, it then becomes a particle. So things can be, are both a wave and a particle, but what creates that particulate quality is you, your consciousness. Now, this is, again, you know, this is the language of quantum mechanics, and yet in Christianity, when Jesus said, greater things than these could you do if you had the faith of a mustard seed, that's basically saying the same thing. And you call yourself the common sense psychic, right? In common sense language. It's the same thing. I mean, remember, mathematics is a pretty inferior language because nobody can talk it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I stick to mathematics, I can communicate with a few people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if I speak about things as they are, as I perceive them, as I understand them, then my audience gets much, much greater. But, you know, when you said 50,000 and I said it should be many millions, it's because this is not something that can be crammed down people's throats or sold to them. It's, you and I are messengers,
mm-hmm.
very simply. And you deliver a message. And once you've done that, you move on and deliver it to someone else and someone else. And it's then up to the person who receives that message to say, this is a bunch of BS, or I get it. And you,
right.
you don't have just one chance to do it. You can say, you know, this doesn't make any sense to me at all, and wake up a month later or 2 months later and say, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. I mean, that's totally acceptable. But I think you have to understand this before you should accept it. So we don't try, and sell it. Nobody tries to sell this kind of thing. I think that's just an inevitable part of the process of, you know, this revelation, because I've been very blessed, and this blessing has a reason, and the reason is this is what we need at
mm-hmm.
this point, this millennium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the
I understand the whole messenger concept, and yes, I'm a messenger, and you seem to be more than a messenger since you're part of creating the message and the information, but that sort of relates to one of the questions I had here in terms, there's a part in the last part of the book where Jane, the person we talk about in the story who had cancer for the third time, terminal cancer, and her doctor wanted to do chemo again, and she's like, why? I'm already dead. And eventually she finds her way to Max, to you, and within a few months' time, she had healed herself, and then she bumps into her doctor at a cocktail party or something of this nature, and he was sort of stunned and dumbfounded to see her, and she sort of tried to explain that she had embraced this technology, and he kind of, you know, wasn't that interested. And then he shares with her that his wife is suffering from cancer as well. But still, he himself is not open to the technology even after that exchange. I mean, you know, what does that say to you? Writing that, what was sort of the purpose and outline of that? Just the rigidity of Western medicine, or what was that about?
Well, there's that, but that's not the main point. The point is very simply that this is something that you understand and perceive from within. It is not something you can study. When you apply, you know, the scientific method, studying it as physician, you know, I've had a whole bunch of medical degrees. It's just not the same process. You have to kind of get it. Now, mm-hmm. that was written back then, you know, it's in the late 20th century. There are thousands.
Okay.
That's why Wayne said it was stupid of me to call the epilogue up to date. He said, you regret it. I'm telling you that, my friend, you're going to regret it. But he's right. So you're finally right, Wayne. But the point, very simply, right now, it's 2000. There are thousands of physicians on the AIM program. Thousands.
Mm.
But, you know, that's also part of the change that I'm sure you've noticed. Because there is the line. It's becoming far more distinct between those who perceive that triad of empowerment and responsibility and gratitude and those who don't get it. And you can look at the paper and say, he doesn't, and you say, this person does, this group does, they don't. It's becoming that obvious. It's changed dramatically, and that's because the public has perceived there is an extraordinary need to understand that. I mean, I don't know about your childhood, Phyllis, but I was brought up basically being taught that you really got to get lucky. Because stuff happens, and if something happens to you, you go to the person who fixes it. If you can't, well, you're in deep whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of me having a part of the process of creating creating it, and the process of removing it, changing it, healing it, was alien to my environment as a kid. Mm. And I think that's just part of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
There are other cultures where that is not the case, but it is certainly part of our culture. But it's changing. It's changing with lightning speed. People are, that's why all these, quote, self-help things are so popular. Movies like What the Bleep, or, you know,
yes,
whatever it is, you know, the one with my one of my closest friends in it, The Secret. Mm-hmm. Michael Beckwith is one of my closest friends in the world. And that's why people see these things. They perceive somehow there is this need. And it's right. And, you know, no one wants to be Chicken Little, but the state of our well-being is absolutely parallel to the state of our financial well-being.
Mm-hmm.
It's all kind of a package, and I think you probably know that.
Mm-hmm.
And the object is not to run around and saying, oh, alas, it's the end of the world. The object is to perceive, as you pointed out in the very beginning of your prologue, perceive what role we have had personally and collectively in creating this, and perceive what we can do to change it. Because if everything is energy, then anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And as you pointed out also, you know, there's no point in fixing blame. It's not relevant because there's only one person you can change, and that's you.
Hallelujah. You're preaching to the choir. I love
it. I know I am, but you know what?
I love it. I love it.
It's out there, so we have to indulge each other.
Yes. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back and just focus some more on AIM and some of the things you're offering to specifically Down syndrome people and people who suffer from autism and other things about animals and such. And I won't get to everything, but we'll touch on that. And again, also, I want to let everyone know that Stephen is featured in a book just published called Peak Vitality. So look for that book as well. And again, log on to the website energeticmatrix.com or stephenlewis.org. And both of those will be on the Toxon website as well as my website. But we'll be back shortly with more with Stephen Lewis right after this. If you're interested, as I am, in keeping up with the most current information about all things psychic, then you have to pick up a copy of the Psychic Reader magazine. Deja Vu Publishing has been producing this prominent publication in the San Francisco Bay Area and beyond California for over 32 years. The Psychic Reader magazine is a bi-monthly metaphysical publication dedicated to providing the most reliable information about clairvoyance, alternative healing, and personal well-being. It contains interviews, book reviews, and articles from the pioneers and leaders in the metaphysical community. You can read and learn how being psychic can benefit you. To subscribe or to get a free media kit, call Roseanne at 1-800-433-5288, extension 117, or email her at ads@dejavupublishing.com. Visit dejavupublishing.com today or call Roseanne at 1-800-433-5288, extension 117.